turn to Micah chapter 4. Got my lip over my eye tooth and couldn't see what I was saying. Micah chapter 4 this morning. I need your prayers. They've been trying to help me sleep better. But instead, what they're doing is going the opposite direction. Instead of stop breathing 8 times an hour, I'm stopping 12 times an hour now. So it's wearing me out. Before, they said, well, are you sleeping through the day? And I wasn't having to take naps most of the time. But now, about every day, I have to take a little nap to make it through the day. So just pray for me that they'll get it straightened out, what needs to happen there with that machine. And it's just not natural to have something strapped to your face while you're trying to sleep and try to help you breathe. And last night, I don't even remember taking it off, but it was in the floor this morning when I woke up, and it was turned off, so evidently I'd got tired of it sometime during the night. But anyway, just pray for us that they could figure out what's going on there, and I may have to quit it. I was doing better without it. So anyway, just keep us in your prayers. And this morning, as we think, there's a lot of talk about being in the last days and things that takes place. And I wanted to look back into the prophecy of Micah in the Old Testament as we look at this today, talking about the last days. Well, friends, we're not in the last days. We may be in the last weeks, we may be in the last months, but we're not in the last days yet. We're not in the time of the great tribulation that's going to take place upon this earth. We've not seen that come to pass yet. The book of Micah in the first 3 chapters deals with judgment, talks about the judgment that was coming to the nation, the future judgments that was going to come to those that reject Christ and things that was taking place. And in chapter 4, we see a little bit of hope because we see them here as Micah is prophesying, and it's talking about the last days and the things that's going to take place, and Jesus' return and setting up His kingdom and being the King of kings and Lord of lords. His second return to earth. He's going to have a return where He calls His children home, but He won't return to the earth at that point in time. But the second advent of Christ, when He comes back to the earth, that's what we're looking for, but that's not the next thing that's going to take place. We're going to leave here. 7 years of tribulation is going to take place, and then Christ's return is what we're going to see. And there's so many today that are confused and mistaken about what they believe and what they are being taught, because it's not the Word of God what people are saying today. I'm not going to stay here as a child of God to teach those during the tribulation period. Don't tell us that in the Word of God that we're going to do that. There's going to be those that sit in church that have been taught but never surrendered their heart to God, but they're going to know what is taking place, and they're going to see these things come to pass, but they're not going to be able to have the grace that we have today. I tell you, it's going to be a terrible time when the only way that you can have salvation is by dying a martyr's death for God, by surrendering all and saying, I'm not going to take that mark. I'm not going to follow Satan, but I'm going to believe in Christ that He will do this and to give your life. That's going to be a terrible thing to do, because we hold life very precious. We hold life sacred in a lot of times, and we hold our own. We want to be here as long as we possibly can. We make preparation to go, but a lot of times we ain't anxious to get there. When it comes right down to it, we want to be here as long as we possibly can. But I want us to see and be encouraged to know that that time's not going on yet, the great tribulation, because we're still here, and because Jesus has not returned to set up His kingdom yet, so we can't be going through those times or been through those times. We've been through rough times, but let me tell you, that's because of the punishment for sin that we're seeing happen to us today in the land and country that we live and in the world that we live. In Micah chapter 4 and verse 1 it says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Now friends are talking about Jerusalem at this point in time. Micah is prophesying about Jerusalem, because that's going to be the capital city when Christ comes back, and people are going to be flowing into it. Right now they're not flowing to it, they're flowing out of it. And let me tell you, Christ is not being preached there a lot of places. There are some missionaries that's there trying to reach the Jewish people for God, but let me tell you, there's a lot of people that are rejecting still yet the Messiah, rejecting salvation, and don't believe that it's coming in the way that we have through the New Testament. They're still living by the law, and the Bibles are not being printed there that the Word of of God is being used. They're still back in the old books of the law and the things that they're living by and the Orthodox Jews. But let me tell you, here it says that people will be flowing unto Jerusalem. They'll be going there because that's where Christ is going to establish His kingdom and His reign and where His throne is going to be in the New Jerusalem. It's going to be. So that's not established yet. It's got to be established whenever Christ comes. It's not established yet. We're not through the tribulation time, and it's not been started yet. The temple's not built where the desolation of abomination is going to take place. It's not there yet, so the Antichrist has not set himself up there yet. Can't take place until it's built. It's not there yet, so we still know there's a time away from that. And whenever anybody gets to group together to try to build something, you know how it is. Everybody's got their own idea on how something ought to be built, so they're going to have to get people in agreement before it can be built, and they're going to have to do some work together. But let me tell you, it's not there yet. It's not there yet. The hour is not come. It's just as Christ said whenever He was talking there, whenever they would question Him. And He said, "My hour is not come. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go into the mountain of the Lord and the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." We're not seeing that today. We're not seeing the word of the Lord broadcast from Jerusalem. We're not seeing them teach from Jerusalem about Christ and His salvation. We still hear them talking about the law and how they're living by the law and how the priests and the things and the customs that they still have to do. They're not preaching Jesus and salvation through His blood. That's not being shared from there still yet. It's not going forth. People are not going there itching for knowledge, wanting to be taught, wanting to have those ears to be enlightened and minds to be enlightened about Christ. They're not going there for that right now because it's not time yet. Micah is prophesying for future events, near future and far future events that's going to take place that we see here in chapter 4. Where is the Word of God should be coming forth from? This Christian nation of the United States and any other nation across the world that proclaims Christ as being the Savior of the world. That's where the story needs to be coming from. That's where we need to be shouting it from the housetops. That's where we need to be getting up on the radios, the TVs, and any broadcast media that we can, going in person, whatever it takes to get the Word of God out. I thank God for our missionaries. We got some letters from them this week. They're on the bulletin board from the Mars that's there in Alaska. They did have their baby. We got a picture of her there with her parents. So go down the hallway there and look at that and read some about what they're doing. But I thank God for our missionaries that's going out and being mouthpieces for us. But let's don't get lazy. Let's don't sit back and get lax. Say, "Oh, you know, this is getting too commonplace. You know, somebody else can do it. I'm just not." We can do that very easily and get cold and indifferent on God because we let Satan creep in. We let Satan creep in. But let it go forth from Zion. The Word is going forth from Zion. That's God's mountain. The Word of God. That's something we're lacking in America. Though there's floods taking place in across America and terrible storms, we have a drought in the Word of God. Here in the Bible Belt, it's easy to find a church that preaches the Bible. Well, I say that's in a literal sense. It ought to be easy to find a church that will preach the Bible and stand on it. But other places where it's not so taught and not part of their culture and heritage, they just let anything go and everything go, and God's the last thing they think about. It's getting harder and harder to talk to people about Christ. But there's people's eyes being opened and realizing there's something more. Something more. Verse 3 it says, "And He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Friend, we've not got to that point yet. When did the last time you see all the contractors that's building these weapons of mass destruction? When did the last time you seen them turning their tanks into bulldozers? When was the last time you see them turning their missiles into fence posts? You've not seen it happen yet because it's not going to take place until Christ brings peace. He's going to judge the nations of the world. Whenever he returns and the nations of the world come against him, they're going to face judgment and they're going to pay the ultimate price for rejecting Christ. They're going to suffer utter destruction. And friend, I don't want to be included in that crowd. I thank God that I joined the winning team, that I'm on God's side, but most importantly, that he was on my side and chose me, that I could be saved. He called my name and asked me to come join his team. That he found, that I found favor in his eyes, that he wanted to save a wretch like me, as Jacob said. Someone who was unworthy, but it can make us turn our beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. How are we to produce fruit? We need to have our vines pruned, trimmed, and ready to produce. To produce. How can we sow the seed of the Word of God? By plowing in the ground and making the ground prepared for the seed. Friends, today we have got, I'm afraid that in many places we've got soil compactors and weed killing. And it kills everything. Chokes out the root system. Chokes out the Word of God in many hearts. But instead, we need to be breaking up the ground and sowing the Word of God. The good seed, not sowing discontent and strife, but sowing togetherness and love. One nation under God, one people, one bride, adorned for the bridegroom. Verse 4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Are we afraid today? If I went out here in the parking lot, half the cars are probably locked. We go to your houses, the doors are locked, the windows are barred most places. There's a few people don't lock it because they don't want somebody breaking their front door trying to get in their house. Don't want them tearing up something if they're going to steal something. But we're afraid. You drive down the road and somebody looks at you cross-eyed because you're driving like they don't think you should be driving. You're afraid somebody might pull out a gun and shoot you. Road rage. Things happening. We're afraid. We're afraid the economy's going to collapse. We're afraid that they're going to do this. We're afraid this is going to happen. We're afraid that's going to happen. I've seen people so afraid they spent more time being afraid than they did living. God does not want us to be afraid. Amen. He don't want us to live in fear. The only fear we should have is the one true living God, and that fear should be respect for Him. Amen. That we love Him. Not to live in a state of fear. Because it says, the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Do we sit under our own vine and under our own fig tree now? We hear things happening, and it just broke my heart when I heard about Larry passing away, because I used to work with Larry at Caldwell Construction. And we talked many times, and he invited us over to where he went to church in Ashe County, sung over there at their church, and had many conversations about the Lord. I'm thankful to know for what he told me, that where he's at. I know he's there waiting. But there's so many more that may leave this world that we don't have that same witness. But let's don't live in fear that someone's going to die and go to hell because we don't tell them. Share the word. Amen. Then it becomes their responsibility. Share with them Jesus. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. And he will walk and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. There's a choice to be made. If you're here today and you're not walking with God, big G-O-D, you're walking with the little G-O-D, the God of this world, Satan, the tormentor, the liar, the destroyer. And in this verse it tells us of that day, those that trust in Him, never receive Christ, they're going to walk with their God. And we will walk with our God, the Lord God of hosts, forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that is afflicted. Who is he talking about at this point in time that we're looking at? He's talking to Jerusalem. He's talking to the Jewish people. Those that had been halted and stopped, he's going to make a remnant. Those that have been scattered, he's going to bring together. Those that have been driven out, he's going to bring together. Those that have been afflicted are going to not be afflicted anymore. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast afar off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Even forever. Isn't that good to know that being a child of God, that we're not going to have to worry about who's in the White House? We're not going to have to worry about the leaders in Russia, whether they're getting divorces and whether they're doing things the way they ought to do them there, or the people that's there in Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan and all those places, in China and Korea. We're not going to have to worry about all that because we've got one King. One King. One God. One Lord. One Master. And He will rule from henceforth, even forever. Yes, He establishes kingdoms. Yes, He brings down kingdoms. But when His kingdom is established here, there's no power that can bring it down. None greater than our God. Now why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselors perished? For pangs have they taken thee as a woman in travail, but in pain and labor to bring forth. O daughters of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go from out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the fields, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, and there shall they be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. As we was looking there at the first part of that, the distant future that he was prophesying about, now we see a more immediate future that was at hand for them. Going into Babylon as being captives, the time they were going to spend there, the time they was going to be out of their homeland, until they was brought back. The time, and it talks about Malachi, whenever there would be no prophet to speak to them, there was going to be a time of darkness in the time of the Jewish people, because the prophets wouldn't be given nothing to prophesy. The priest would not be given any visions. And Christ and God Himself would not be speaking to them as a nation. A 400-year period that He allowed them to go through this time of separation. But it says, at last, thou shalt be delivered. The Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Today we live in the land of our enemy, Satan. But there will be a time when we're redeemed out of this land to go to the land of the living, to go to the land of God. And thank God when He establishes His kingdom, there will be no more death that we'll ever have to worry about. No more times of going to the gravesides as families will today. But thank God it will be a time of living. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. Today how many nations are against the nation Israel? How many, even our own nation, does it stand as strong as it one time did with the nation Israel? And when we turn our backs on her, we can watch out. There will be some destruction, some time of punishment that will come for our disobedience. But we must bless the Israel, bless the nation Israel, and not curse her, unless we want to suffer such fates as other nations. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they His counsel, for He shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor, preparing for a threshing. Arise and thresh, O daughters of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Friend, God is going to win. It doesn't matter how bad it looks today, how much foothold Satan has, it's still not going to get it done. God is going to be victorious. He's already won the war because His Son was able to go to the cross of Calvary and shed His blood and pay for all sin one time. Purchased us a home in heaven that we can go to and enjoy. A time in His kingdom when He sets up His millennial reign that we're going to be able to enjoy the goodness of God. Not deteriorate, not worry about if we're getting enough sleep and all these things. When they told me I was quitting breathing 12 times a minute, I thought, you don't breathe many more times than that an hour, or 12 times an hour, you don't breathe many more than that a minute, so that's losing quite a bit of sleep. But I'm not going to lose no sleep in heaven. I'm not going to lose no sleep in the millennial kingdom. I'm going to have a perfect body, fashioned in the likeness of Christ, able to be in the presence of God in the very throne room. Now that sometimes that's hard for me to wrap my mind around. I don't know about y'all. But the throne room of God. Oh, and to see Him on the throne. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. Probably get beside myself. You ever heard that song, "Gonna get beside myself"? When I get beside the King that day, I think we need to get a little practice. Amen. Every once in a while, just get beside yourself. It's all right if you have to go out in the garden and do it. Go practice. It'll work. It'll work. When you go and you see that stuff that God's blessing you with, you just pour it out to Him. You can get beside yourself. Just seeing how real God is. How real God is. But friend, we're not in this time yet. We're not in the tribulation yet. We see hard times, but we've not seen hard, terrible times yet. Amen. Thank God I'm not going to look upon them. Amen. I'm going home to be with Jesus. Amen. I hope and pray that you are. I hope you're ready. I hope you've made that choice with Jesus. If He's knocked on your heart's door and you've surrendered all to Him, said, "Jesus, I believe You came and died for me on the cross of Calvary, shed Your blood that I could be saved, and I believe it in my heart and confess it with my mouth, and truly believe it and truly possess it," you can be saved. Don't just say words. I'm afraid there's many that have said words and didn't feel it from their heart. And it was just words. But when it comes from deep within, from your very soul, God hears. His Son applies His blood, and you're made new. I don't know how much simpler I can describe it. And that's all there is for salvation. Not cleaning yourself, not coming before Christ worthy, because none of us are worthy. No, not one. We all sin and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus made it possible. Friend, as we get a song prepared of invitation, this morning I ask you just to surrender to Christ. If He's knocking on your heart's door, if it feels like your heart's about to jump out of your chest, if you've not been able to get comfortable during the whole meeting because the pew's too hard or something's poking you, that's Christ knocking. That's Him trying to get your attention, wanting you to open your heart and let Him in. Let Him in. Let Him in. When is it going to take place when the church is raptured out? I can't tell you. I don't know the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven knows. So it's foolish to try to set a time. But let me tell you, there's enough of this book that's been fulfilled that it could happen just any day now. Even today, Christ could say, "Children, come hither," and call us out of this world. And friend, if you're here lost, it'd break my heart not to be able to see you there. It'd break God's heart if you reject Him. He's done all the work. All you have to do is receive Him. As we stand to our feet,